Adam, Adam.
ATP Services in association with O1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte... Do you mind?
Thank
you,
more.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 141. I'm Adam and with me this week is... Hang on, I've lost my Skype page. I heard a cough there by Mary Lang.
Hello, back from Chicago TARDIS.
And Woo. Robert Haynes.
Hello.
And Rhys Parton.
Hello, back from nowhere.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Tapping day, what? Tipping, tapo.
And the other me, but all will be explained later on.
I hope so.
About half an hour, actually, be precise.
Pip, pip, toodle do.
If it all works, of course.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
What?
I was talking to Robert.
Right, I suppose we better look up some news before I... Because I've just realised...
Well, don't we... How long have we got Mary for?
An hour.
An hour?
About 5'6", is it?
Well, in that case, it might be a bit tricky, especially as I've got to disappear. So I'll take it from that, where you were hinting that we should crack straight on with...
Ow!
Pardon?
Actually, we should hear from her about her experience at Chicago TARDIS, I would think.
As long as we can fit that, and of course, the synopsis of Unicorn of the Wasps, which is our show for this week. Go on, Mary, go on in, go on, give us all the name droppings and things that you can muster.
Oh, droppings.
Ooh, droppings, ooh.
Ooh.
Well, I'll try to make it quick.
What? Don't make it quick on my account.
Get off.
That's what she said.
We haven't even been in this for 5 minutes and you've already taken it to the gutter.
You said you make it quick.
Okay, I'll say four things and I'll try to get to each of them at very quickly.
Four
One
of them.
Was the best part for me was the reception, which took place that Thursday night when we first registered, where they served us pizza and, you know, other snacky things and drinks. And we got to meet all of the featured guests, which included Sylvester McCoy and Bern Gorman. He's Owen Harper on Torchwood. Simon Fisher Baker and Ian McNeice. And Colin Sprawl. You might remember Colin as being the science doctor in the Matt Smith episode where they the Dalek back in World War II. Yeah,
the robot one, the android.
Yeah.
Wasn't he also in the Rise of the Cybermen?
Yeah, he's the one person who kind of spans the old Who and new Who because he was in the last. He was in the last series of the McCoy era, and he was in the 11th Doctor era.
Cool.
And 10th Doctor era.
Oh. What was he in the 10th Doctor?
Rise of the Cybermen. He was the guy who was telling the guy the Cybus guy that things shouldn't go the way they should. He's never going to get the approval from the government.
Yes, you're right. Of course you're right. You're always right.
No, he's almost always right.
I'm not always right.
he's half left.
No, he's not.
Hey, well done, Robert.
And Nicholas Briggs, who's the voice of the...
Daleks,
thank you.
And the Cybermen. And everything.
And
I'll take a
minute. I think you tickled the Adam there, Robert.
It wasn't the fact that Robert says he's half giggles. Left. It's the fact that Kirby kept on going, what? What? Oh, God.
But they circulated the room and they would sit at the tables with us and talk. And so it was great getting to know them all. And the funny thing is that Vern Gorman, I can't imagine this was his first con, but he was kind of wandering, looking a little lost. And so when we said, hey, Mr. Gorman, come on over. So he came and sat with us. He talked with us for a full hour. We had so much fun with him. Before someone from the administration or whatever came over and
rescued him.
You need to circulate a little bit. So,
okay.
So we did eventually lose him. And Sylvester McCoy is absolutely delightful. He's so wacky. He's just like his character in Doctor Who.
What, you mean
he's
the
got
doctor?
So much energy, hasn't he?
Oh, he does. He does. There was an interview. I think we've got Adam in a giggly mood today.
He's amusing himself.
It's just like his character in Doctor Who, which is the title of the series. Oh, God. Carry on.
Okay, well, I'm glad I'm amusing you. there was a interview with him, you know, like a large audience interview in which they took questions afterwards, and he just didn't sit still. He was bouncing around the room. He was holding the microphone up to people to ask them questions.
Apparently he doesn't sit still. He always does that, apparently.
Yeah.
did he play the spoons?
No, he didn't do that.
Goodness for that.
What was really funny is that he made the comment that he wanted to eventually retire on a tropical island, and someone said, oh, well, then you need to play the latest Powerball. And when he found out what that was, he said, oh, wait a minute, we'll get the numbers. There's a TARDIS here, isn't there? And he ran over to the same TARDIS that I had my picture taken in. He jumped in there, closed the door, made TARDIS noises from inside.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, and then he opened the door triumphantly and said, I've got them, I've got the numbers.
He's someone born to perform, I think.
So he really they is. Say Tom Baker is mad.
Uh-huh. Oh, they're all crazy.
Maybe McCoy's just as mad.
Yeah. And Mary, was that the one where the Powerball that big prize was won?
Sorry.
That money.
I didn't hear that.
Sorry, because Magic was flapping his ears at that particular point.
Was that the Powerball where lots of money was won?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Millions and millions, yeah.
Half of it was won by a couple who'd adopted from China, which I kind of
figured. It's true, they did.
Because my three girls are from China.
Indeed. Yep.
Too much money for one person, really, isn't that?
Too much what, for one person?
No, all those millions.
I thought you said honey.
No, I'll have it. Of course they'd have a few million.
You're thinking the episode.
Yeah, I wouldn't have minded winning.
No,
I didn't.
I
invested all of $9 in it.
I invested $5. There's a bunch of us that went in, all $5 each, and we, of course, didn't win.
Anything else?
Okay, Sophie Aldred was not there. She didn't arrive until sometime on Saturday. So the thing that I did choose not to go to was the brunch, and she was there, and I heard that she was absolutely wonderful there. Because that was taking place at the same time as Dr. Phil's Well-Tempered Schism performance, and I didn't want to miss that.
Cool.
Did they record that, Mary?
Well, somebody did. I saw a device, you know, a recording device sitting in the middle of the aisle, so I hope they did.
They did City of Death, didn't they?
They did.
Ooh. Love to listen to that.
So tell us about Dr. Phil.
Yeah. Oh.
Stuff I don't have to edit out be quite good.
It's delightful.
Unlike the rest of everything we said.
He too is so much fun. And that takes me to the second thing where, because he sat on a panel about podcasting, where he did give a plug to the 20 megabyte.
And they all went, what?
Tim Drury of Tim's Take On has released an episode of that panel, and I heard that.
Okay.
That,
I did the old go.
Which is the latest one?
Huh? Well, actually, in America, it's more, huh?
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I mean, you saw in that one picture that they took of all podcasters that I had that shirt on that said the 20 megabyte. I mean, I did that on purpose because I wanted anybody who happened to see it say either, whoa, yeah, I listened to that, and then I wanted to interview them a little bit. Yes. Or I wanted them to say, well, which one is that? And I could tell them about it. I'm telling you, not a single person acknowledged it at all. Aww. And I was even going up to people, even, no, get this, I was asking people, do you listen to podcasts? And people were like, what? What's that?
People don't know about podcasts.
And I don't know if this will make Adam feel any better, but Michelle from the Doctor Who podcast, you know, our perennial number one, was there. And her whole intent on being there with her little recording device was to record people who listened to the Doctor Who podcast. And she was wonderful. She and I met up a lot. You know, we did a lot of talking. She was having the exact same experience because she had a Doctor Who podcast shirt on. And she said not only did nobody react to it, but she was asking people, and nobody even hears about podcasting. So that was really weird.
I think it might depend what convention you go to. I think maybe some conventions.
It could be.
Because some, the Galley one, there's a panel and it's quite well populated as far as I know.
Well, Galley is enormous. Exactly. So that's a much better chance. But, I mean, she interviewed me for that, you know, and you are most welcome bit. Yeah. Which I plugged the 20 megabyte. I said, I'm Mary from the 20 megabyte podcast.
Yay. Well done.
Thank you, Mary.
And then she also interviewed me for their show about predictions of the 20th or the 50th anniversary, what we think is going to happen. May.
You got in that TARDIS and went back 30 years. Yeah. Oh, dear.
Well, anyway, I plugged us again on that, so hopefully on the Doctor Who podcast, people will hear about us.
Good girl.
Yeah, I hope so. And it was very frustrating because I had a recording device with me, but, of course, it died in my hotel room. I couldn't get it to work at all. So when I had the opportunities, I had two opportunities with Sylvester and one excellent opportunity with Sophie to possibly record something for the 20 megabyte. I did not have a device on me at all. Both Matthew Kressel, who I have many, many thanks to, he kept loaning me his recording device, and Phil Cerna kept loaning me his recording device whenever, you know, they didn't need theirs. So I had at least one, at times two, recording devices on me. At times, of course, then the opportunity never arose again to talk to either of them. So
never mind. Better luck next time.
You did your best, Mary. You did your best, and you had fun.
I had a lot of fun. The way I describe it to people when they say, well, what was it like? I say, well, it's kind of like you discovered this door in the floor that you didn't know was there. And when you open it and go down into it, there's this whole world of people who dedicate so many hours of their lives to listening to, reading about, hearing audio and creating costumes and constructs all about Doctor Who. And it's like a revelation that there is this other world out there. And some of the constructs were amazing. Full life-size, fully operational Daleks with people inside. Yeah, one, fully, and I think
fully operational. You should have been running.
Yeah, well. I mean, they would come gliding down the hallway.
You are funny.
Wow.
It's a mass murder at Doctor Who convention. Oh, dear.
We're in good form today.
Thank you.
This one guy climbed out of a Dalek. In fact, the whole front of it opened up in sections, and he climbed out. He even had an oxygen mask on, which tells me it was very hard to breathe inside that that thing.
Are you my mummy?
Yeah, there was a couple of Are You My Mummies there, too. Oh,
good.
And
so
then...
go ahead. Oh,
go ahead. I mean, for me, then, the other highlight was Toby Haydock's new show, My Stepson Stole My Sonic Screwdriver.
Haydock, listeners.
Funny.
Don't go down the pod shock route and by mispronouncing his name, otherwise there could be all sorts of dramas.
Haddock.
Toby Haddock. Haddock. No, Haydock, listeners. Haydock. There you go. Carry on, Mary. Sorry, just being pedantic.
He's very funny, isn't he?
Oh, he is.
Where'd you buy it? What'd you buy at the dealer's room?
Hey, yeah, oh my God. Yeah. I bought so many books, mostly about Classic Who, because that's where I'm kind of trying to focus to catch up with all you guys. And I bought a license plate cover, says, you know, my other car is a TARDIS.
Oh, yeah.
And I ended up buying a bunch of Big Finish audio plays.
Oh, which ones? Which ones?
Well, Sylvester McCoy era ones, because that's kind of my era now, because I sat through so many panels and heard so much about the Seventh Era, because we had the script editor, we had the music person, we had, you know, some of the actors from that. So because we heard a lot about it, I decided, okay, that's where I'm going to dive in and watch
all
the shows.
He does a
lot
of audio, so.
Yeah. Which ones? Master was one. And one, I think, was Night Dreams. And another one, I think, was Dark Thoughts. Or so. They were highly recommended to me by one of the Big Finish guys that was also there.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Did anything signed?
No, I'm not an autograph collector. And besides,
I like photos myself. I prefer to have a photographic evidence of me meeting someone rather than an autograph. Although I wouldn't say no to one, I just prefer photographs. I mean, obviously, when I had met John Pertwee, I've got the picture of me with him, which is quite precious, obviously, but not as. Well, sorry, I've got the autograph that he did in the video, as you see, somewhere. Yeah. But the most precious thing is the actual video and the photo of me with him.
Yeah, I had my photograph taken with Sylvester McCoy and Sophie Aldred, but I didn't want to pay, you know, $40 to get it autographed, so I let that go. You got to make our choices. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
No, it isn't, because you missed out a bit. I noticed you met a few other podcasters other than the ones you've already mentioned, apart from you might have been mentioning people when I was laughing. I can't remember, but Stephen, I saw you with in a picture
Stephen
with Stephen Shemansky.
Right, from...
Radio Free Scaro.
Radio Free Scaro, thank you. And Chip
from Memory Cheats.
The Two-Minute Time Lord, I met him. He's so nice.
Yeah, I've heard he was there
with his family.
Because that's what we were alluding to last week in the fact that we were joking around that you met up with them and mentioned us, and they went, what? So what were their experiences of the 20 Megabyte podcast, if any?
Well, Chip had listened to us some, but he says he's so busy that he doesn't really listen to very many others. Other
really, because he's only ever got 2 minutes to record a podcast. There you go.
Unless he's doing an interview.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, but he and Stephen Shapansky are good friends because they're always on each other's podcasts. And I'll put this delicately. It's hard to meet Stephen because he's always got himself surrounded by people. He's very insulated, if I can say that. And
a bit of a celebrity.
Yeah, kind of like that. Mm. And doesn't really acknowledge people. And he's always kind of surrounded by his own favorite little people. Ah. So you don't have much of a chance to talk to him. But like I said, Michelle from the Doctor Who podcast, she was wonderful. She had her family there, but they were sightseeing Chicago because she's from Colorado. And since she was having such disappointing experiences in terms of, you know, getting material for her podcast, I think she eventually gave up. And because I saw her a lot on Friday, I only saw her once on Saturday and didn't see her at all on Sunday. So I think she left and decided to sightsee. And Chip, he was very easy to meet and talk to, and he's a lot of fun. And like I said, he had his family there, so he was kind of focused on them. But Stevens
didn't he get eaten by a seagull?
What?
Chip?
For God's sake!
Yeah, he got eaten by a seagull.
Huh? Well, you're going along with him.
Oh, comedy moment of the day. Kirby.
What did they do? It sounded like a seagull, actually. Robert.
Right.
Humor removal.
Now, the other thing I was going to ask in relation to that was the fact that it was in Chicago. I'm quite surprised that the. Will you be quiet? I'm quite surprised that you had magic. I'm quite surprised that the boys from, or at least one of them, from the Bigger on the Inside podcast weren't there.
Because they're from that area?
I believe so. Oh, well, never mind. Thank you, Mary. It was lovely. I've just been sat here listening and laughing. It's like being on the Mary Lang podcast. Who ever thought of going into podcasting?
Yeah, but let me do say that Dr. Phil is absolutely delightful to know. I had so much fun with him. And and Matthew Kressel, I have so many thanks because he basically took me around and let me know how everything worked. And he was introducing me to people. And he just was great.
Thank you, Matthew.
You're so lucky, Mary.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Phil.
I would have loved to. I'd love to meet you guys first, but
I would love to meet you guys.
Podcasters would be wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, that does sound
Matthew
great.
Matthew is heavily pushing his Con Cerberus, which takes place in June. So I have a feeling that Kirby's going to be there.
I was there last year, and or this earlier this year actually. It's only an hour and a half from me, so.
Of course. Cool.
I don't know. I'll have to look at the distance and
That's where I met him. I actually saw him the year before at Timegate, but didn't meet him. And then I met him at Con Cerberus this past summer.
I'll tell you, it's really funny to sit in on the panels where he was on the panel. Of, you know, whatever the topic happened to be, he would sit there just so quietly and the thing would go on and on and he just wouldn't say anything. And then suddenly some point would come up that he would then open his mouth and everybody at the panel would turn in shock, surprise and awe because he would carry on in such detail about whatever that point was.
He's very knowledgeable.
He's incredibly knowledgeable. And all of a sudden you can see everybody in the panel sitting up straighter and going, oh my gosh, we have an expert among us. It was always fun to see.
Superb. Right. I don't know how we're going to do this because obviously you've got another 35 minutes. I've got to go out in a minute. Yes, I'm going to be connected, but I've got to go out in a minute. It's going to be a little bit difficult because I haven't got any notes on because I've been working all weekend. I've been filming weddings.
I've got notes in my head.
That's fine, but I still can't, unless you want to do the synopsis. And have you got, are you got notes in your head? I don't know if that's going to work, because there's quite a lot about this episode I'd like to speak about.
They're musical notes, though, so they might not help with this.
I will need the video to a certain degree to jog my memory, because it's a bit of a sort of strange, I've got strange feelings about this episode.
Three letter word.
Sorry? What three letter word?
Jog.
Not very
exercise.
Fun.
Don't.
I'll try not to. But anyway, I've got to go. Where's my watch gone? Oh, no.
I don't know.
Try on your wrist.
That's why I would have known if it was on my wrist, because I just looked at my wrist and found that it wasn't there. Grief.
Other wrist.
I'm going to wear it on my other wrist to be upside down.
Try your watch pocket.
Watch pocket?
Your fob pocket. You may keep your fob
pocket. Oh, I see. God, I'm losing the will to live. Right. So, don't know what to do now. Should we look a little bit of news and then come back to it later? That's what I thought.
What happens? There's the man who arrives in his car driving down the lane, and he goes to the library. Is it the library he goes to?
Yeah.
Well, no, he meets
Peach in the library with the lead pipe.
But no, he meets up with a few characters and then says he's going to the library.
Clue or Cluedo, as it's known in the rest of the world.
Right.
Robert. I'll give it a go.
I love it. I've got it.
So. Never mind Cluedo.
I love it, though.
No. No, the episode in hand, as in Unicorn of the Wasp. Yes.
When he finds something in a book... And he goes, something, oh, yes. And then he looks up. Somebody comes in the room. And this someone turns into a wasp. And it's good that we only sort of get a quick glimpse. And then the titles roll in.
I would have preferred that we didn't.
Why? To save
it? Well, it's too late. We did, so there.
Yeah, it's only a glimpse. And then we have the Doctor and Donna. They arrive in TARDIS. And did you notice we didn't actually see the TARDIS arrive? We just saw it sort of after it had materialized, so maybe they're saving a bit of money on the budget. And I like how when Johnny gets changed, he says, flapper or slapper?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty... And the doctor had to think about it, said, flapper. But I love when Donna starts up with all her toodle pip and...
oh, yes.
No.
Don't do that.
I love that, though.
And but one of the footmen in the background is David Tennant's father.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that because obviously watching it. But now I'm glad you mentioned that because that's one thing I would have not made a note of.
Oh, well, the timbre of your voice has changed. Yeah, you must changed. Be on the
other
side.
I don't know why that is.
Because he's on Adam Pearson too.
Yeah, but I might get disconnected. Listen, I might get disconnected because I'm walking away, and I'm hoping it's going to switch over to 3G.
Ooh. Why not 4G?
They're whatever. Anyway, continuing.
Anyway,
by the way,
go ahead, Robert.
The drink that Donna orders, the sidecar, is a real 1920s invented drink.
Yeah.
Ooh. Was the Harvey Wallbanger around then as well?
I have no idea.
That got mentioned later on in the episode. Yeah. And it's a very typical sort of Agatha Christie type a setting, as per the TV movies or the cinematic movies as well.
Yes.
It has all the settings, all the trappings, doesn't it?
And Henry Gordon Jago shows up.
Yes. Oh,
yes, Katie, mum's the word.
Yes. It's lovely to have an actor like him returning. Because Mary, he was in The Talents of Wang Chiang.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Top Baker,
and he was also
in
Inferno.
I haven't seen that.
Yes, that's right. As one of the bureaucrats.
Wait, who said they hadn't seen what?
I hadn't seen Inferno.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did see The Talents of Wang Chiang.
Yes. I think you saw that fairly recently. Yeah, so yeah, lovely to see him back, and he does a lot of big finishes now. They've done a couple with him and the guy who played Professor Lightfoot. Yes, they
go on Lightfoot. I can't wait to. I'm going to get some of those. They sound fantastic.
Yes, well, I've listened to the Mahogany Murderers, which was a Companion Chronicles, which sort of that was their first pairing together.
I think it gave them the idea to actually do the series.
And it's absolutely brilliant. And, you know, them two together, and they've just done, I think you can get them from Big Finish for £1 as downloads. Ooh. Voyage to Venus and Voyage to the New World. One was released last month and one's being released this month. And yeah, only £1 to download. And I've looked, when I look on the Australian, well, look through my end, it's only $1. So,
when we download the more recent ones, they're more like $8.
Yes. Well, these special sort of ones, they're, Jago and Lightfoot with, Colin Baker. They're just special releases and should be only, I think, $1 download if you have a look on
their
website.
I will look them up.
So if you want to look, it's Voyage to Venus and Voyage to the New World. And they're only sort of like, I think it's only until the end of January or something like that.
Okay.
The offer. So well worth getting. And And hopefully that will stimulate their thinking price-wise if it's such a success that they can continue doing things like this. So the more people who get on board, the better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sponsored by Big Finish, by the way.
Adam is sponsored by Apple, and you're sponsored by Big Finish.
Two wonderful companies.
Yes.
Yes. But, getting back.
And if Big Finish would like to send us review copies, we'd be very happy to receive them.
But getting back to the the what's it called?
Episode.
The Unicorn and the Wasp. yeah, we had the lovely Felicity Kendall, who was in The Good Life, back with Richard Bryce, who was in Paradise Towers with Sylvester McCoy. That was a very good series. And Felicity Kendall with another lady also did a program called Rosemary and Thyme, where they play two sort of detectives, which is very...
Oh, is that her?
Yes. Oh. Have you watched that?
No. But, but I always see it listed, so...
Yeah, well worth it. It's very Agatha Christie-ish. They're just playing two ladies who fight crime. She's very good in that as well. What else can I say? Yeah, so they're having a typical sort of garden party or garden lunch, which is, opportune time for something to happen, as indeed something does.
As it does in Agatha Christie's stories.
Yep. I can't remember what happened. I know that lady, the unicorn lady, she stole that necklace, didn't she?
Not at this point. She does it at the dinner party later.
Oh, that later?
The housekeeper goes in to get Professor Peach, and he doesn't respond to her knocking.
Yeah. And she goes in, screams, and runs back. And according to the commentary, which was done by the Agatha Christie and Lady Edison actors, the housekeeper's shoes were too small for her, so it was very painful for her to run.
She's running
like that.
Funny.
Yes.
Oh, now I know why.
Just a little side note: the Agatha Christie person and Tennant
Amelia
were both.
Wolgar.
Yes, yeah. We're together in a series that was called He Knew He Was Right, in which they both play kind of ridiculous characters. It's very good.
Was that before this was filmed?
Yeah, that was before this, yeah.
Yeah, because she was mentioning that he got her this part.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And also, she now does narration for Agatha Christie audios.
Ah.
Really?
Very good. Funny coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yes, I think she did very well in the role, though, didn't she?
Yeah,
do you reckon?
She did. Yeah.
If anybody gets Netflix streaming, He Knew He Was Right is something they offer.
Ah.
Oh. We don't get Netflix here. We get Quick Flicks, which is similar.
Okay.
I'm not sure whether they're trying to or something. There's always something, over here.
By the way, we're not hearing Adam because he somehow got dropped. He tried calling in, and that's why I went silent there for a few minutes.
Oh.
Because he wanted me to add him to the call, and I could not.
Oh.
So what do we do?
We keep talking.
We keep going.
Okay. Okay, yeah, something that I noticed...
Before.
Something
we
that I noticed.
On. Pip pip.
Toodle-doo.
Yeah.
Something I noticed because I'm a Agatha Christie fan, and they just mentioned so many book titles throughout, like The Body in the Library. Obviously,
yes,
going to
they do.
And talking about Cat Among the Pigeons and Nemesis, Cards on the Table, Sparkling Cyanide, Endless Night, Crooked House, The Moving Finger, Death Comes as the End, and the Doctor says something about the murder of the Vicar's Rage instead of murder at the vicarage.
Yeah, yeah.
and those were the titles that I noticed, but
they're all listed on the Wikipedia page.
Oh, okay.
And lots of them are copywritten to Donna Noble.
That's something that I really loved about this was the humor all throughout. So some of it quite overt, but some of it, Catherine Tate, the use of her is just, I thought, very excellent.
I love the scene where the Doctor and Agatha Christie are interviewing everyone individually in that one room.
Oh, yes. Oh, so yes. All the flashbacks, yes.
And the Colonel and goes into a flashback in a flashback.
Yes. I love the Doctor trying to get him out.
No, come back. Out of both of them.
Come back.
And I love the way that every time the finger points, Donna's going, so he did it? So she did it?
What? Who did I kill?
Robert, I think your microphone has slipped because I can hear you trying to talk, but you're not.
Yes,
can't
way
hear
in the
you.
Background.
Is that any better?
No.
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 Uh oh.
What have I done?
I'm not sure. Oh, you probably got too loud. Uh oh.
Oh, we've almost completely lost you.
Edit.
Well, this is the first podcast where we have two people who can't be heard at all.
We're being picked off one by one by a wolf.
Yes. Back at the Christie.
Which one of you did it? Hey, which one?
Now, was there a little bit of the old RTD gay agenda in there?
Definitely.
Definitely, always.
Yeah.
But did you hear? I like the bit about the Donna was saying about the good. Yeah, you know when Donna's saying about all the good-looking men are batting for the other side or whatever.
That's right. That's right.
And the doctor says all time lords, referring to himself. But what else happens?
Well, there's all the flashbacks where, and then the doctor's own flashback is apparently to a story which was later posted BBC's website. What's it called? I'm looking for it.
Wikipedia.
He's shown in Belgium with a bow of quiver. With a bow and a quiver of arrows on his back. His voiceover explains he's looking for Charlemagne, who was kidnapped by an insane computer. It's something called The Lonely Computer.
Oh.
And it's possibly available on the BBC website. I haven't looked for it.
No, I mean, but that's interesting.
But he's also wearing that same...
It's definitely on the BBC website. I could put a link on the 3 megabyte... podcast.
Excellent.
I say he's wearing that same bow, quiver and bow in Blink.
Yeah. That's what I immediately thought of.
Yeah, that's me too.
Yeah. So, what else happened next? I can't remember.
The plucky assistant goes to open of the room.
I like how says, I'll pluck you in a moment.
Ooh.
I was surprised that the butler let her into that room.
At the what?
Why?
Well, it just... he was apparently around during the time of The Secret as well, but she pulls Scotland Yard rank on him, I guess. And...
Maybe it was a convincing psychic paper bit. Yeah, so they discover that big stinger in the door.
After Donna is nearly killed,
giant wasp.
And I love her coming out into the hallway and telling the doctor to ask Christie, "This big blooming giant wasp."
Yeah, he says it can't be that big.
Have you already mentioned about the chap from Talons of Weng Chiang?
Yes.
I wanted to mention about that.
Well, too bad.
He's going to go back there and just record him saying that before you say it, Robert.
Yes.
He is in control of the editing, by the way.
Yeah, he'll make us sound like idiots for mentioning something he already mentioned.
Right.
Well, I quite just like Donna's reaction to all, you know, the fact about the wasp. Her dialogue.
Yeah, she's very good though.
I heard somewhere this was her first episode.
I don't know about that.
They mentioned it in the commentary. That this was the first one that she filmed, although I'm not sure about that, because they made a lot of mistakes in commentary.
So what about the bit where the weeping angel falls on the woman?
Weeping angel.
Surely she had time to get out of the way of that.
I know.
It's falling on me. I know. I'll just stand here and let it fall on me. Which is, wasn't it something similar than that happened in the Black Orchid?
It's been so long since I've seen Black Orchid, I don't remember.
Oh, well.
This story really makes me think of the Black Orchid.
Oh, yeah, it's obviously set in a similar time period, isn't it? It's just the statue bit. I seem to remember something like that happening in that.
We don't have Matthew Waterhouse constantly eating, though.
Dancing, strangely.
Yeah. However, Donna is always stuffing her face whenever there's any food in the scene.
Yes. Yeah. I almost wish that Catherine Tate had been able to do the commentary, because it would have been interesting.
Good. Yeah, of course it would.
Yeah.
Well, so what have I missed?
Is this the point where I stick in when the people were interviewed? The secondary character people were interviewed at the convention. Nicholas Briggs had an interesting thing to say about
another name drop.
Tate. He said that he was asked, you know, what was it like working with all the companions, and every one of them he was describing, you know, being Amy and Martha and everybody, how lovely they were and what their personalities were like when they were off screen, and, you know, how funny and all this. And the one person he did not have a good thing to say about was Catherine Tate. He said she just kind of lives in her own little world. He says you can talk to her and she looks right past you and walks by you. And she's just so, like, somewhere else all the time in her head. And then when there's some kind of a, like, public gathering, like when he did the proms and she was a part of that, he says, well, they were standing backstage waiting to go out. All of a sudden she goes up to him and it's like, oh, Nicholas, you know, how are you? And she gave him this big hug. And he said, up until then, she didn't have a word to say to him. And then afterwards, any other contact he ever had with her was always her acting like he didn't exist. So he was not very flattering in his comments about Catherine Tate, which is goes against everything, because I love her.
I think it might have just got her on a couple of bad days, maybe. He didn't do a lot of that series, did he, Nicholas Briggs?
No, not really the last.
Right. Not as much as he had done on previous series.
No.
So anyway, back to Unicorn and the Wasp. What have we got up to so far?
During the section where they're interviewing everyone individually, and the doctor makes mention to Agatha Christie about the piece of paper she found in the library, mm-hmm. and he startles her with what was he saying there? He exclaims something very loudly. I'm trying to remember what it was.
That's right, Tom Baker. I'm glad you brought that. I thought that is Tom Baker's doctor, that one.
When you watch it, watch the actress who's playing Agatha Christie, because she almost cracked a smile. Because she was not expecting that. And he caused her to start laughing. and that naughty. She mentioned that in the commentary.
Yeah, copyright Don Noble.
That reminds me. I was watching an interview with Dustin Hoffman, and they were talking about in the scene where he's with Mrs. Robinson, and the director says, "Put your hand on her breast," and so he does that in the scene, and she wasn't expecting that, and he just cracked up laughing. So he turned away. He turned away from the camera and walked to the wall and put his hand on the wall. And really, he was laughing in that scene. So if you watch that, that's just a little side note.
Is that before he got arrested for sexual assault? Or?
What the doctor says in that scene, by the way, he's reading the piece of paper and he goes, "Maiden!"
That's it, yeah. That is, thank you, Reese. But that was, for me, that whole scene, he was, how do they say it on the Doctor Who podcast? Channeling the Fourth Doctor.
Yeah,
I think they all try to do something like that, though, don't they?
That was very, very blatant in that. But I did enjoy that, actually. Right, the next bit, Doctor gets poisoned.
This is fine,
apart from it's cyanide, and there's only a handful of people can actually smell cyanide, but Agatha Christie is apparently one of these people.
She says she's an expert in poisons.
Yes.
Adam.
Yes. It's back, listeners. It's back.
Oh, he's
Adam.
Back. He's
Adam.
Yes.
Adam.
Uh oh. And now he's faded.
And then we've lost him.
No, I'm here.
He's gone quiet again.
I'm here.
No,
we were
Robert.
Talking about Robert.
Oh, you upset him, that's why. Is it, has he been fading since I've been away?
Yes.
Oh, that means we better not talk about him because he probably can still hear us.
Yes.
We
can.
Right, anyway. So,
she used to be a pharmacist, Adam.
Yes, I know, but not all pharmacists can smell cyanide. But never mind, I'm not bothered.
Yeah, but she worked, that's where she came up with a lot of her medicinal sort of poisonings.
It doesn't bother me that much.
As a pharmacist.
It's just something I sort of thought about at the time. But I do enjoy the scene in which he's trying to get rid of all the...
Ah, and he's doing his charade.
It's just
a highlight of the whole episode.
It's brilliant.
Harvey Wallbanger.
It's a song.
Of course, but he said, I need a shock, so she kisses him. Surely that's not that much of a shock, is it?
You missed a bit about something salty.
Yeah.
He says, what's that? Salt.
Yes.
Of course it's too bloody salty.
Too salty.
So I was talking to the dog, by the way.
I love that scene. I love it.
Best part of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More there's also another bit. I don't know if it's been yet, where obviously the creatures sort of the lights keep going on and off. It's probably a bit later on actually, and they know it's gone down the corridor. So the doctor calls out, and all these doors open.
Yes.
And the bit that made me chuckle was a bit where
that's cheating.
The master of the house's head comes out of the door, and his lover head comes out of the door as well.
Yeah.
I think it didn't have to be the fact they were a gay couple. I think it still would have been funny even if it was a woman's head come out. It's just so funny.
But that reminds me later when Roger, is it Henry Gordon Jago's character? The guy who plays him.
Yes.
Is it Roger? And when he's talking about... children being there, he says, "Oh, there's no chance of that." Talking about his son being gay.
Yes, yeah.
No, and of course, Roger's the son's
Roger's
name. He is Colonel Hugh Kirbishley. I love the name. All the names.
Yes,
Reverend Go Lightly.
Yes.
Up to this point, I'm thoroughly enjoying this story, but it just starts to turn on one instance for me. I was thinking, oh, this is brilliant, because I've heard people, this is one of the episodes where people sometimes don't like for one reason or another. And I do like it. I do like it a lot, but it just gets to one point when I think we first see the vicar, spoilers, start to, because they do a flashback to if you've got this is made by the Wings. You're not going to say it through your voice. All right. That's a bit that started to annoy me a little bit. And of course, that when he was going to change, he did that for the rest of the episode. That's the bit that slightly ruined it for me. I think they could have been a bit more imaginative.
And
they didn't
also
have to.
We only see the wasp alight on something where it's standing once. This kind of, when it materializes, it's flying.
Yeah, and also that one materialization, it's like a smoke, green smoke thing.
Yeah.
Is it sort of
flying? No, purpley. Purpley.
Oh, is it purpley, is it?
Is it?
Yeah.
But I can't sort of understand how he can change into the wasp. What happens to all the clothes
he's
wearing?
And also,
when he changes back.
For who? Come on.
I know, but when they're around the table and the lights keep going on and off, you hear not him saying zzz, you hear the actual buzzing, yet he's still sat there. So he's quickly, obviously, changing backs and forwards very, very quickly whilst the lights are going off and off in that room. But, it doesn't matter that
much. Only when it's convenient.
Yeah, exactly. Luckily. and the other thing about that, but it is good fun, obviously, but it's a murder mystery. So once you've watched it once, you know who the murderer is.
Yeah.
You get a completely different outlook on it when you watch it a second time, because it's not a mystery, but you still enjoy it, but it's not quite the same.
Well, I think that's what makes the difference, is that the first time you watch it, because you're focused on the mystery, you miss a lot of the humor and the style and all that, because you just want to know what happened, and it's not that interesting. But then when you watch it after you know, then you relax into all the jokes and you recognize the style and all that, and then I find it more enjoyable.
Yeah. And of course, there's the bit in where the Doctor's being Agatha Christie, and you put keep some point to people going, you, and there's Donegan.
So he did it.
You killed her. You killed her.
I love that.
I love her.
So she did it.
No. Yeah.
Yes.
So she did do it.
What did I do?
So he did it.
So and she half did the time when she, half the time when Donna says that, her mouth is full of food.
Yes.
And that's when we finally get the reveal of who it is.
Adam, are you okay?
Didn't that actor almost look Peter Davison like?
Yeah, I suppose
that's
he did.
That's what I thought. Actually, when I first saw it, I thought it was him.
So he escapes and they chase after him in a blue car. Agatha Christie's blue car, because obviously Agatha
didn't they have trouble with those cars, Kirby?
Not really. She was worried that she was going to have trouble driving it and didn't.
And the Doctor and Donna follow behind in another old car. It's a shame it wasn't Bessie, because it was from that sort of era.
The main worry with that scene, apparently, was that they're so slow, they couldn't make it seem dramatic, so they had to do a lot of camera tricks to make it seem like a fast chase.
The Doctor does his usual talking to an alien, pleading with an alien scene, Donna does something, which causes... Is it Donna or is it Agatha?
Pendant.
It's Donna.
No, she throws the pendant.
She throws the pendant into the water and the Vesper form drowns itself, really. And then Agatha collapses, but the Vesper form releases her from, whatever connection.
Which, that was kind of the one point where I went, okay, that's convenient that it decided to...
Yeah, this is where it all... not falls apart, but it becomes a bit naff for me. It's great up to the point where you find out who the waspy thing is. But once it gets past that point, it gets a bit, for God's sake. Some of it's okay.
It feels like a quick ending, like The Power of Three, but it's still a very good episode.
I say, the fact that they filled in the gap where Agatha Christie disappeared quite well. And they've explained
that
the amnesia.
Must be what happened.
Absolutely. But it's just some of it's a bit for God's sake.
They filmed this at a couple of different country houses in Wales, but one of them also happens to be the house that was used for 10 Downing Street for the interiors in the first series, and also Christmas Invasion, again, Harriet Jones' office, Girl in the Fireplace, Army of Ghosts was filmed there, The School on Human Nature, Family of Blood.
Crikey.
Talk about recycling.
They use this quite a... The next Doctor, the Doctor's base in the TARDIS courtyard.
Oh.
So they use that house a lot.
Yeah,
they must do a lot of redressing, though, I suppose, to try and disguise
things. And I read that
things.
They played around with the dates, too, because when Agatha Christie disappeared, it was not in the middle of summer, but it was in the middle of winter. So it would have made a little garden party, impossible.
It was quite sunny.
It was summer somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
But anyway, obviously, the Doctor takes Donna back into the TARDIS and shows her a copy of the Death in the Clouds. It says, facsimile of the 1957 Earth Edition, Sol 3, published in the year 5 billion, I suppose it is, 5,000 million.
I love all the stuff that the Doctor pulls out of that chest.
First he says C for Cyberman or something, throws something.
The chest is a C chest. It's got the Cyberman chest plate.
That's right.
Got the crystal ball with the Kyrianites in it. Christy.
So anyway, I've more or less said what I think about this episode. Like I say, I really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, you're right.
I,
by today it was 3rd December 1926 when she left the house because Archie was cheating on her.
Wow.
Well, that's not great. Yeah. We've done some sort of anniversary thing on it. Brilliant.
Yes.
Inadvertently. Yeah.
That's very coincidental.
It certainly is. But, like I say, it's an excellent, excellent episode. Would have been one of the best if it weren't for the last 10 minutes. But still, still enjoyable. Still good.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
It's certainly one of the funniest.
I love it.
Yeah.
I liked it much better on the second viewing for the reasons I already stated.
Yeah. So
people criticize it for being over the top, but that's the whole point.
I think it is over the top.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I think the over top things in it are...
Going, oh, dear! But that's the whole point. They're supposed to get to the top.
Directed by Graham Harper.
Yeah.
He's always
by Gareth Roberts.
Yeah. That's okay. It's okay. It's just the last 10 minutes. A bit silly. But on the whole, very, very... It's just so funny. It's just lovely to see the Tate-Tennant partnership in full swing, really, with the comedy and that.
Yeah. And Bab, you've got something. Donna mentioned about there's bees in this century or whatever she's saying.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Another mention to about the vanishing of the bees.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she also mentions Lance and her boyfriend was.
Oh yeah.
And what was the other thing that she brings up? Oh yeah, that they're being. There with a murder mystery with Agatha Christie was just as unlikely as being Christmas with Charles Dickens.
Yes.
My God. Yeah.
The doctor gives her this look.
Because wow. She's going to be telling me Dobby's real. He's not, is he?
Yeah, the Noddy. Oh, that was so funny too.
Oh, Noddy. Yeah.
That house at the Harrogate Hotel exterior at the very end, the hotel that Agatha Christie walks up to, they've used that a lot too. It was also used as 10 Downing Street. And lots of Sarah Jane's were filmed there. Lost Boy, Vault of Secrets, Lost in Time was the haunted house in Lost in Time.
I've still got series 3 and 4 of that to watch.
Oh, you need to.
I know. I've got all the DVDs now. I just haven't watched them yet.
Series 3 of what?
Of Sarah Jane Adventures.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you might want to know that at the convention there was also Anji Mohindra.
Yeah, I saw the pictures.
Yeah. And, the guy that plays the heckler.
Sorry, is it Anji Mohindra? The first name you mentioned is that Rani?
Yes, that's Rani. Uh-huh. And the actor that plays the heckler in the Sarah Jane Adventures, they were there too.
Cool.
Did you get to meet them?
Well, no, I didn't. Well, I mean, yeah, I could have, but I'm not a Sarah Jane Adventures fan, so I didn't really go out of my way to meet them.
Good series, Sarah Jane Adventures.
Yeah,
I miss it.
There's pictures of her at the convention. She was apparently very fascinated by that turtle.
With the Dalek on the top of it. Yeah,
and pulling three Daleks behind it.
Yes, it was pretty amazing that turtle. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Well,
hey,
thanks,
Adam.
Everybody. Yes,
I just thought I'd mention something because you've listened to Destination Nerva, haven't you?
I have indeed, yes.
I say, if you want to get others from that particular series...
Go to www.whowon.co.uk, where, of course, you can buy all your...
That whowon.co.uk?
Big Finish CDs.
That would not be whowon.co.uk.
It would be indeed.
No, I was going to mention, out of the other episodes, it gets really good from Energy of the Daleks, Trail of the White Worm and the Asylum Adventure, because I listened to them over the last week and they're good.
The actor you're talking about was Paul Mark Davis. He played the Trickster.
The Trickster.
One of the daftest looking aliens ever in Doctor Who.
Return of the Pedant.
It was bothering me because I couldn't remember the, a character by the name of whatever it was you said.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it was a name like that, you know?
Yeah.
You're the heckler.
From henceforth, Mary is now baptized as the
heckler. Yeah, anyway, right. Of course, Mary, you're just about to go, and I was just about to go into the audio messages we have thankfully received this week. But you're obviously going to be going, so you obviously... yes, won't be able to hear them until.
Do you have an audio from Kirk, from Ian Kirk?
Yes, we do.
Okay, because he also sent his script, and I wondered why he did that.
Script? What script?
No, Mary. When we listen, it's sometimes hard for us to hear.
Yes.
Oh, now, so he did. Okay.
So he transcripts all his messages.
I didn't see it, but I must have missed it.
It's a message on Facebook.
Well,
that's the first time I've seen that.
He's done it before.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, that's very helpful.
I did say thank you to him for that.
Excuse me.
Excuse you.
You're excused, Adam.
Well, I need to leave, so I'll talk to you guys next week. Is it Sunday this time?
Probably.
She asked hopefully.
Probably.
Make like a tree and leave.
Since it's one of the best stories ever, I think we need extra time for it.
So. I've just noticed a bargain for the UK listener of the show before you go, Mary. And I don't like plugging big corporate selling websites, but Amazon.co.uk have got Doctor Who Complete Series 6 on DVD for a bargain... $17.99 or best $16.77. That's pretty cheap. 64% off. That's the whole series.
So, is that pounds?
Pounds. Yeah.
So that works out to be about $30+ US.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cheap, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Mary.
Okay.
Hopefully,
thank you.
See you
bye
Sunday.
Bye. And I'll keep an eye out if it changes from Sunday. Bye, Reese.
Well, say
bye,
we
Robert.
Say Sunday until I say otherwise.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Adam.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, 20 Wayback Podcast. Bye. This is Ian Kirk. Oh. Noddy is not real, is he? The Unicorn and the Wasp by Gareth Roberts. There are several references to Agatha Christie book titles in this.
Yeah,
Gareth Roberts must have a bee in his bonnet. The first is in the pre-credit sequence when Professor Peach says, "Why didn't they ask? Heavens!" Agatha Christie, like Queen Victoria, is not amused by the Doctor's light-hearted view of monsters. The Colonel in the wheelchair is played by Christopher Benjamin, who was Henry Gordon Jurgo in The Talons of Wang Chiang.
Hey, we got that one.
The Firestone is a purple jewel, and when the Wasp appears, it is in a purple glow, which is a clue.
Yes, very good.
We see Donna's face through a magnifying glass. Director Graham Harper... has similar shots in two other episodes. Lady Edison is living the good life. I met Felicity Kendall once at a book signing.
Yes.
The other people had her sign a copy of her book and then chatted to her for a minute or two. When she signed mine, I walked away. When I glanced back, she mouthed, "Thank you," and we smiled.
Oh, what a lovely story.
Agatha Christie has a memory of the Wasp and the rest of the story wiped from her mind, but the memory of the Wasp returns later. The same happens eventually to Donna.
Yes.
Donna looks at the first page of the novel to see the copyright date. She should have looked at the last page to see if the Doctor had torn it out.
Yes.
It seems that Agatha Christie travels to Harrogate, North Yorkshire, by TARDIS.
Yay.
Robert Haynes is originally from North Yorkshire.
I was born there.
Next week we might review Silence in the Library. A river runs through it. In The Angels Take Manhattan, Amy and Rory travel to 1938. At the end of that episode, they go back in time again, but the year is uncertain. In 1936, the Jack Hilton Orchestra recorded a song called Amy. That might be a coincidence.
Oh, that'd be good.
It's supposed to be about the solo flight to Australia by Amy Johnson.
Ah.
But I don't see why a woman would want to go there. I don't know.
Wonderful Amy, how can you blame me for loving you? Since you've won the praise of every nation, you have filled my heart with admiration.
Yes, thank you, Ian. It's lovely to have him back, isn't it, listeners?
Yeah.
I said listeners. Are you listeners? Oh, you are, of course.
Except for comment about certain countries.
Right, I'm just going to go and put the dogs' dinners on and let them out, because it's been raining, it stopped raining, and they need a wee.
Are they on fire?
I will be back for the rest of the audio messages after these messages.
Laptop to be.
This is the Galactic Exchange. Ooh. You have a message. Connecting you now.
Jim the Fish calling the 20 Megabyte Podcast. Can you hear me? I am being held captive on the jungle planet, Lostralia, by a two-headed alien called Anton Deck. I've evaded security and made it to the communication center. It won't be long before Anton Deck finds I am gone, so, without further delay, I need to tell you this vital information. I have the answer to the question that must never be answered. The first question. The oldest question. The question that is hidden in plain sight. Why is Doctor Who like Southampton Football Club?
Be quiet!
Because it's only December and already both their seasons are over.
Oh, be quiet. What a load of nonsense.
It sounds like my disappearance has been discovered. I have to go. This is Jim the Fish, signing out.
Your message has ended.
You're not making any friends around here, Jim the Fish, you know. Absurd.
I don't know or care what he's going on about.
Football.
Me too.
Anyway, I've got some written...
Must be soccer.
Pardon? I've got some written stuff here. The old-fashioned method of writing. Isn't it good?
On paper?
On electronic stuff. It was on my iPad, actually, via Gmail, from somebody called Matthew Crissell.
Never heard of him.
I've spent over an hour now trying to get my audio feedback to attach to an email, with no success. As a result, I'm sending this text instead, so could someone please read it out? That'd be me, then. I've just
attempting
moved
to anyway.
Matthew, use something like Dropbox or Google Drive and just share it. That works.
Yeah.
Well, does that mean he wouldn't send me an email if he does that?
Well, he was trying to send you audio.
Anyway, back to the email. Having taken a quick glance at reviews of this episode, it is clear that this is one of those episodes that tends to bring up strong reactions. In fact, it seems to divide fans into those who love it and those who hate it. Part of that is undoubtedly, down to the script. Gareth Roberts' script is a bit of an old one when it comes to its tone. The dogs have just burst in. Don't mind me. You too, just in the middle of reading an email. Thanks very much. Part of the script feels like it is Roberts trying to do a pastiche of Agatha Christie. Other times, especially in the climatic scene where the Doctor and Christie go through the list of proverbial suspects, it feels like it's trying to be a parody of her work. In fact, there's even a line about midway through where Christie herself mentions that it feels like someone is mocking her stories, perhaps hinting at Robert's attempts at parody. The problem, though, is that this leaves the episode feeling uneven and downright derivative at times. Outside of the tonal issue, there are some nice things about this episode. There's a nice performance from Fenella Wolger as Agatha Christie, who basically steals the episode. Which isn't easy when you've got David Tennant, Catherine Tate, Christopher Benjamin on top form as well. And Felicity Kendall, for that matter. There's also the period
Nice having her on top, too.
That's what she said. There's also the period setting, which is wonderfully brought to life, as the BBC always do.
Yes.
The final analysis, it did feel very Downton Abbey, didn't it? In the final analysis, bear in mind Downton Abbey came after this.
Yes.
I think The Unicorn and the Wasp divides fans because of its script with its tonal issues. This is an episode that can't decide if it should take itself seriously or not. I don't think it does.
No.
And that ultimately does more harm than good. Look past the potential problem and there's some enjoyable performances and a well-realised period setting. In other words, it's not perfect, but it's a good way to pass 45 minutes. Couldn't say it better myself, Matthew. It is indeed a good way to pass 45 minutes. Very enjoyable episode. It's just a couple of minor things you think, oh, for God's sake. But most of it is thoroughly enjoyable, very, very funny. For comedy reasons, at least. I mean, there's not a lot of things that will make me laugh out loud on several viewings, and this one of the things that will. And that's
that one still does, yeah.
It's also one of the things I love about Doctor Who, that they can have a comedy episode and it still be Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And Star Trek could do that as well. Although the original series of Star Trek, there weren't that many comedy episodes. Obviously, Trouble with Tribbles was one. But it is incredibly funny and very, very good. Thank you, Matthew. Lovely to get some.
Thank you.
And did I read it all right, everybody?
Yeah.
Well, after a shaky start, but
everyone's a critic.
No, I was just going to say, because Matthew didn't send, I think, 1 week. And then he thought he was saying something whether he didn't want to or something. I think it's good that he has. Even if he couldn't send the audio, he went to the trouble of typing up a...
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's to be commended. It's because it's nice to hear what other people have to say.
Yeah, excellent. So that's it for messages, direct messages at least, this week.
Yeah.
Now we can move on to news.
Thank you,
everybody. Snowmen promotional images have been released. There's a lovely poster of Matt and Jenna climbing up a ladder towards the camera. A very festive looking picture, especially with the Doctor in his latest hat. Nice picture.
And what's of course, he wearing?
Well, top, sort of red, sort of top hat, Dickensian, we'd say. Sort of. Slightly straggly top hat and his Dickensian coat.
Looks like
I do love that costume. Do you really think he's going to keep that costume? I don't think he is. It's a shame because it really suits him. I'd love really to see him wearing that in Series 8. Well, I can't see it somewhere. He's still got the Dicky bow, although slightly bigger. And, of course, they've also released a picture of the snowmen themselves.
Bow ties are no longer cool.
What?
Is there a joke coming?
he's not wearing a bow tie.
I thought
he's wearing a normal. No, it's a normal tie.
Oh, okay. What if? I bet he goes back to wearing it though. No, he looks. Reminds me a little bit of the Artful Dodger with that on. But as I say, Dickensian. So what we got here? Showtime showcase trailer. Is that a different trailer to the one that we saw on Children in Need? BBC have announced today, this is the 27th of November.
So slow.
That Christmas 2012 lineup and the evening saw the first BBC One Christmas trailer broadcast of the channel.
Haven't seen that.
Did you hear that? Did you hear Magic flapping his ears then? He's just trying to steal the limelight. Before EastEnders, Last Tango in Halifax. There was a number of brief clips from the Snowmen represented Doctor Who's place within the Christmas schedule. I'm not sure whether it's a wonderful suit, so I'm going to play it if I can find me connecting to that. You probably want me to hear this, but oh well.
Robert said he hadn't seen the trailer yet, so
well, you better get his finger together and watch it then.
This is going to be the best Christmas ever.
Oh, it's a BBC it's clearly a BBC trailer that includes a clip from Doctor Who.
Can I get to smile,
everybody? That may be the one.
Oh, yeah, it's a little bit of...
magic.
Oh, it's Mrs. Brown's voice. Oh, it's some sort of cartoon. Oh, it's Tom Ward, who should be playing the Doctor in my view. Oh, it's... the Doctor kissing. Oh, he's kissed her. There was a blooming wonder, wasn't there? Because there's not one companion, apart from Rory. Perhaps he has kissed Rory. There's not one companion the Doctor has not kissed. And as you showed a clip of the Doctor, spoilers, the Doctor kissing Jenna Louise Coleman's character, which apparently is Clara Oswin. Is that right?
I think it's Clara Oswin.
Well, we know it's Clara for sure.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure I heard somewhere that it was Clara Oswin. Yeah. There we go. That was the BBC Children, the BBC Christmas trailer, which you'll have to watch online to actually see the Doctor Who clips, because this is an audio presentation, and all you heard really was a bit of music.
Hey, isn't it good news that New Zealand will also be having...
Pardon?
No.
They'll be having what?
No, having the Snowmen broadcast on
Boxing Day
as well. Because they had...
I'm sure you read that right. It might have just been the Snowmen with Alla Jones singing and stuff.
They only had the Doctor, the Widow and the Wardrobe on the 5th of January this year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Poor New Zealanders.
Good that they're starting to broadcast it,
I wouldn't feel too guilty about hang on, Magic's just unplugged my blooming cable
and shaking his ears.
You're still there?
Sorry, that was me.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, what's happened here?
Hello.
No, I can't hear you because the idiot dog has just disconnected the cable.
Oh.
I can hear you now because I found the cable that the idiot dog had just disconnected.
Ah.
Right. Where was I?
In your house?
Be quiet. No, what were we talking about before there were technical problems involving West Highland Terriers?
Well, you chose... You'd shown the, you'd played the BBC, what's the name?
Trailer.
Is that all we've got to? The latest edition of Radio Times features TV editor Alison Graham's 12 Treats for Christmas and the 12 programmes she recommends over the festive period. This year's selection includes Call the Midwife, can't wait to see that, Ripper Street, Downton Abbey, well, not too fussed about that, Restless,
Hey.
The girl, but her number one, as it should be, is Doctor Who.
Oh, yes.
Doctor Who Adventures, number 297, is out with a special guest. Well, actually, with the previous one, they had a paint your own TARDIS on the cover as well. It's a free gift. Little set of paints and a little white TARDIS for you to paint. So the good thing about that, of course, is that you don't have to use the blue paints they provide. If you want to use a bit of your own imagination, you can paint the TARDIS any colour. Yes, pink indeed.
You can paint it pink.
Or just paint Bad Wolf on the side of it. What else have we got going on here? Doctor Who Experience in December. It says that they've announced a number of activities that will take place during December. On the two weekends leading up to Christmas, Doctor Who's makeup and prosthetic artist Bethan Harris will be on hand to transform visitors into their favourite monster. Oh, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Ooh, silent.
You need to go up there and do it.
Yeah, that'd be nice if I could afford that.
That'd be good,
but yes,
T-shirts.
Obviously, all three of you listeners, if you do actually manage to get to the Doctor Experience on those dates and get yourself made
you're
up,
you're talking about please, us, aren't you?
Please send your pictures to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Right, iconic props from previous Christmas adventures will also be on display. And there's a T-shirt. Mm-hmm. Limited edition T-shirt which features the TARDIS star logo, which is basically making... They think that the TARDIS on a blue T-shirt with a sort of... its light sort of shining out like a star looks Christmassy.
Does it for me?
Like I said last week, the character building micro figure series 3 are coming out. I'm trying to see what we've got this time. We've got.
You know what? I'm annoyed.
You're annoyed.
Well, it's got one of those. It's got one of those library figures, which is what we're going to be reviewing next
the
week.
The library figures.
Well, you know what I mean. The
Space Narada, maybe?
Yeah.
A gold Dalek?
Really, are they? They were the people first, weren't they?
Yeah, but this, you see a skeleton
it's
in its
skull,
thing.
Oh, yeah, you can see the skull.
Yeah, so it's Vashon Narada.
Fair enough.
Then there's a gold Dalek, very pretty looking gold Dalek. Then we've got Madame Thingamajig with the funny eyepiece. What's her name?
Astra.
That's the one. We've got a Sontaran with helmet on. I suspect the rare one to be the Sontaran without the helmet on. We've got Cyber Leader, Ood. We've got the robot, the handbot thing. We've got a
Jadoon
with helmet on.
Yeah.
We've got
Rory
with the eye patch. We've got Doctor with long coat. Now that's quite. At least they've changed. The Doctor at last, because they haven't really changed the Doctor figure that much since they brought out these micro figures.
And a Dancing Amy. Is that a Dancing Amy?
No, it's a Walking
Amy.
You
see how it's got a leg?
Yeah, she's just
dancing.
Walking. They're showing that you can pose the figures, Robert, for God's sake. Okay. It's based, but what she has got is hash marks over her face.
Those are from the moon.
Yes, exactly. And finally, a River Song wearing a green sort of dress thing and pointing a gun. So those are your standard figures for the new Series 3 figures. Now, I'm quite pleased that they're all completely different to what we've already got. So, when you buy your first few packs, you're not going to get anything you're just going to get something really different. So that's the exciting thing. I'm really looking forward to getting my hands on a few of those. So maybe I can spend some of my Christmas money on that. And you can get those, no doubt, at www.whowon.co.uk, or if you're visiting Ryde on the Isle of Wight, you can just go up to the shop. Peter Purvis is going to be in pantomime at Harpenden Public Halls in Dick Whittington. John Barrowman will be in Glasgow, where his birth city of Glasgow, in Jack and the Beanstalk. Is it going to be Captain Jack and the Beanstalk? Probably. It's quite interesting to see on the poster it says with amazing 3D special effects. Well, obviously through there it's 3D anyway. And also the fact that he's with the Crankies.
He's got the Crankies?
There's outstanding surprises including a fantastic 3D Enchanted Forest and Journey Through the Giant's Castle. Maybe that's on the screen. Because it says
probably is.
Use of 3D special effects in the previous Kudos Entertainment pantomimes at the SCE. Has been so popular.
No doubt that is the case. And finally, Colin Baker is at Bournemouth Pavilion.
Do you see the picture of him?
Yes, playing, looks like Widow Twankey actually, doesn't it? In sleep. No, it's not, can't be Widow Twankey because it's Sleeping Beauty. Now, slightly frustrating for me because Bournemouth isn't that far away from where I live, but there's no way I'm going to be able to afford to go over there and watch that pantomime. Although Deb was talking about going to a panto, I don't think she'd want to go to Bournemouth to watch one.
That'd be good fun.
So why couldn't they have come to Southampton? Have been a possibility.
You know, what you could do is suggest that tell her there's one there, but not mention that Colin Baker's in it.
Yeah, and of course her answer would be...
you always wanted to go.
Her answer would be no. Yeah. I mean, it would help if there was somebody she likes in the cast, but the rest of the cast
Pollard.
Is Chris Jarvis, Sue Pollard, Asa Elliott, and Kate Weston. Exactly.
Sue Pollard was.
You can get these Christmas tree decorations like baubles of the canine and a couple of
cool,
Daleks
actually.
And the TARDIS. They look brilliant. Yes, but
you
get them
I
from the BBC shop. BBC shop. The BBC Adventure Calendar 2012 is available to look at on the website.
Yes, I posted that on the Facebook page a couple of days ago.
And there's they've also on this DoctorWho.news.net thing, they've sort of showed some previous year's Christmas
Radio Times covers.
Which, obviously, we've got the TARDIS in a snow shaker. We've got David Tennant with some robot things in the background. We've got David Tennant with Kylie Minogue. We've got David Tennant with David Morrissey. We've got David Tennant on his own, because it says the death of a
doctor.
And then we've got a Dalek with Father Christmas in the background. We've got Matt Smith with Michael Gambon and Catherine Jenkins, and then this year, or was that last year?
Last year we got Widow the Wardrobe.
And this year, of course, Doctor Who has to be on the cover of the Christmas Radio Times, doesn't it?
Yes!
Really?
Yes, it does, because we've got General Louise Coleman and the Doctor in his Dickensian.
Bobby's hat, doesn't it?
Dickensian. That's from the Radio Times from the 8th to the 14th, so it's not quite Christmas. Not quite the Christmas issue, but near enough, isn't it?
It's in December.
The snowmen
anyway.
Invade New Zealand on Boxing Day, as you said earlier on.
Yeah, excellent. I think that is for New Zealand.
United Kingdom, time to be confirmed on Christmas Day. United States is 9 p.m.
Eastern time.
Canada, same time.
Oh,
on space. Sorry?
I'm going to have to. I've got to get ready for work. I got to go in a little bit early.
Let me finish this issue, and then you can go.
Okay.
Now, Australia, 7:30 on ABC One, and New Zealand will be. That's on Boxing Day, and New Zealand time to be confirmed on Prime. There you go. Thank you, Kirby. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Sunday. Have a good day.
Yeah, Sunday. Right.
Sunday. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye. Let's see what else we got on here. eBay, I suppose. I've got to do the charts, but I'll do that when you lot are gone. Because I haven't compiled them yet. I have been busy.
Compile them while we're talking.
That would be a bit tricky. I can't talk and compile at the same time. As I found whilst writing the Beatles quiz book, it's very difficult talking and writing at the same time. I haven't finished compiling it yet. I've got another 180 questions to go. Where do I get up to? Right, and so it's.
Should do a Doctor Who quiz.
This is going to get a bit boring, so I'm pretty sure it is. Full size Doctor Who 10th. Oh, sorry, I nearly said 10th planet. This planet Earth Dalek with all the extras. And it's not fully operational, apparently, so it's not going to kill you. £3,200 still.
Woo!
Right.
Ooh. That's a lot of money.
But the item that has got bids against it at £545, collection only.
That's
obviously
a lot of money,
four
too.
Four bids for a full-size Dalek Khaled. Somebody travelling past my house on a very naughty motorbike.
Check their muffler.
You thought someone had wind, did you say?
Yes,
Adam.
I'd be very proud if I was able to produce one that long.
You should check your pants.
Proud and worried.
Yes. What else we got?
Right, we're just scrolling down the list, and we're getting this to this same old thing that.
Oh no!
There's nothing being bought of a great deal of value on eBay in relation to Doctor Who. What page do I normally give up on when I get to page 5? Sorry.
People put a lot of small things on, don't they?
They do. You can get packets of stickers, of the packets of stickers for about 150 quid.
I got a packet of stickers, a box of stickers for a dollar in the $2 shop.
That's impressive.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
So your shops are called $2 shops, whereas ours are called pound shops. So you haven't got any $1 shops.
Same. Yeah.
No.
But you can. No. It's interesting the stuff that you can find there sometimes. I just found Doctor Who stickers. So.
I mean, a lot of the stuff they sell really, really cheap because they're able to buy it in bulk because big corporations are trying to get rid of their stock.
Yeah.
It's not guaranteed that what you're buying is tat. A lot of it is just greatly reduced at the source so that they can get rid of it. And obviously, the people who go into pound shops and $2 shops then reap the benefits of that. Right, the Doctor Who replica prop Third Doctor dematerialisation circuit is £101. That's got 5 bids against it. That's probably one of the more unusual items I've seen on there. And finally, third.
I always remember that, though.
Yeah. The third is a Doctor Who large black voice interactive Dalek. So it's the Dalek Sek. Or is it Dalek Khan? Which is the black one?
I can't remember.
I think it's a Dalek Sek, the interactive voice. Doesn't say what size it is. That's £99.99. This is brand new in box.
Sound cheaper than 100.
So it makes a difference. It doesn't say what size it is, but it makes a difference if it's the 12 inch or the 18 inch.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
But it doesn't actually say. But I'm pretty sure that the 12 inch ones are quite valuable as well. So I'm considering selling mine actually because I've got such a lot of clutter here. Anyway, that's it. That's eBay for this week. I can't see if anything else. I'll just search on what's that thing called? Twitter. See if there's any Doctor Who news on it. And other than that, I think the dog's dinner's burning anyway, because Star is sniffing underneath the door.
I did read somebody's tweet. I don't know who it was. Somebody fairly well known, but they were saying that they're talking about some event. It didn't have somebody there or something. And he said it's like Doctor Who without the Daleks.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I can imagine that you could say that about a lot of things, but Doctor Who is regularly without the Daleks, so it can't be that bad then, eh?
Oh, Robert, do you remember what? The ships, the naval ships, were broken into recently?
Yes.
In Australia? Well, yeah. I saw a newspaper article and a joke picture that had one of the guns of the ship walking away and one of the crew members saying, it's all right, sir. The Dalek swears he didn't see anything.
See, Doctor Who's quite well regarded and well remembered. There was even in the local newspaper, they were doing renovations at some toilets near the beach, and they erected one of those, the portaloos. And somebody says, it's sitting there like the TARDIS. So people always do Doctor Who references like that. Ooh, shows how well loved it is.
Yeah,
well, definitely. I missed that.
And front and sides.
For God's sake! I don't think there's much going on here actually on Twitter. Just talking about snowmen and spoilers and.
Should watch that trailer. I haven't watched it yet, the new one.
Haven't
you? Should indeed.
Well, about, talking about Generally's Common, talking about being a companion.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. That's available on various web things. I haven't seen it yet either, so don't feel guilty. The Isle of Wight Festival, though, has announced some very interesting acts.
And you've got your tickets.
Yes, after John Giddings himself, the actual man who organises the thing, sorted them out personally. Thank you very much, John Giddings. Stone Roses, Bon Jovi, The Script, Paloma Faith, Ellie Goulding, Happy Mondays, Fun, The Farm, Blondie have been announced so far. It looks like it's going to be a really, really good festival.
Excellent.
Last time Blondie were at the festival, I sort of only saw them from the back of the field, so I hope to get a little bit closer to the stage and see them a bit more.
They come to Perth quite often too.
Do they?
I haven't seen them.
No, they were brilliant at the festival last time.
I've got Debbie Harry's autograph though.
Have you?
Yeah,
so that's about it for the 20 Megabyte podcast this week. As I say, recording on Sunday if everything goes to plan, and that means I should really get round to watching a two-part story we've got to try and...
Yes. it's well worth
the
it, though.
Between that. Oh, yes.
Very good.
Oh,
one.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Indeed it is. So you've just basically reviewed it now.
It's
a very good story. No. Let's move on.
Yeah. I think I'm going to enjoy it because, we get to look at... the first time we see River, and that we can
get to look at River.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, the more you watch it, the less you get freaked out and scared by the Vashti Narada. But it's still a good romp, but we'll talk about it more next week. So that's just about it. Thank you all for being on the show again this week. And are you all going to be all right for that sort of early hours of the morning thing next week?
Yeah, hopefully I've got my laptop back by then, so I can secrete myself in a room.
I don't know what times it's going to be there. Well,
if you
bear in mind now that it's 12:34 p.m. here in the United Kingdom,
you get to work out
the time difference.
Well, it was 6 o'clock. It was about 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning for me, so. You're about 3 hours behind me, Robert, so...
Yes, that's great.
3 or 4 for you. Not very nice.
That sounds nice, doesn't it?
That's it then. Thank you and goodbye. Oh, don't forget the charts, listeners. I'm only saying goodbye to them too. I'm going to do the charts now. Bye, Robert. Bye, Reese.
Bye, Adam.
So here it is then, the charts for this week. Number 30, Articles of the Shadow Proclamation. Number 29, Travelling the Vortex. Number 28, Earth Station Who. Number 27, The Oncoming Storm. Number 26, Earth Station 1. number 25, Tim's Take On, number 24, The Doctor's Companion, number 23, The Cultum Collective, number 22, Staggering Stories, number 21, Waffle On Podcast, and into the top 20 with number 20, 2 Minute Time Lord, number 19, The Big Finish Podcast, number 18, Blind Inspiration Cast, number 17, Police Box Paradox, number 16, The Hooniverse, number 15, Sound On Sight, number 14, The Casterbarus Podcast, number 13, Doctor Who, Who's He, number 12, The Doctor Who Book Club, number 11, The Minute Doctor Who Podcast, and into the top 10 with number 10, The Pharos Project, number 9, Mostly Harmless Cutaway, number 8, The Omega Podcast, number 7, The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, number 6, The TARDIS Tavern, number 5, The Memory Cheats, number 4, The Flashing Blade, number 3, DWO WhoCast, number 2, Radio Free Scaro, and at number 1, The Doctor Who Podcast. Thanks for listening to the show, and we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. I did it!
Adam.
Adam.
That's what she said.